welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And let's jump right into the top story here. WinJS, it's everywhere.
Everywhere, Brian. So, WinJS 3.0 is now available. Mm-hmm. And the key thing we're talking about here is, because we have mentioned WinJS, is the library framework that first started off for store applications. So you're a JavaScript developer, you're doing UI specifically for Windows Store applications. We then made it open source such that you could use it on websites as well, or mobile websites. And now there's kind of a 3.0 version, and a number of different things happening here. So one, it's modularized. Mm-hmm. So in different modules, if you don't want everything, then you can kind of pick and choose what specific modules you're using for your application. So I think the total size is like 243 gzip compressed. But let's say, you know, you want everything except the list view. Well, the list view alone is like 120K. So you could actually save a bunch of space by using that modularization. Definitely check out the blog post for it, because they have a number of before and after. So here's how things used to render, for example, on Firefox with Safari, where they've done things to, for example, to embed symbols that you get the right looking things on like an app bar, for example. Or the toggle control in Windows, which is that nice blue highlight. Mm-hmm. They used to have kind of a real basic slider. Now they've done things in the CSS and HTML to make it look a lot nicer. So definitely something to check out if you're using WinJS today.
Right.
Definitely check this out.
Okay, and is this a preview? Do you know? Is this a
real It's now available.
Thing? It's available.
It's real.
All right.
It is the 3.0 release, man.
Yeah, great. Cool. So Todd Bricks talking today about earlier this week, I should say, about the unification of the developer centers. Last year, we unified the Windows Phone and the Windows Store developer program, so you could register for one and be able to publish to both. But now what they're doing is they're saying you can register once, and you basically have a membership for life. So you don't have to pay an ongoing kind of annual upkeep. One thing that's not covered here is what happens when you die, if you're brought back either as an undead or if you're reincarnated. So I'm expecting that's somewhere in the fine print. I didn't have time to figure that out.
I'm sure somebody will send angry tweets about how we're not considering them. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. But no, this is awesome, because it means that you can kind of, you know, pay one membership fee, be done, be publishing your apps and updating them in years to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. This is our .NET Universe. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time we've released a .NET Universe. This is the 2014 view of the .NET Universe.
Okay.
So it's gorgeous. I'm not sure where Neil deGrasse actually sits, but I'm sure he's in here somewhere.
System.cosmos.
System.cosmos. Data access. Let's just pick on Data Access Entity Framework. Those tiny little icons, there's actually, in case you're wondering what they are, means it's supported. The red kind of thing is that it's open source. And again, the NuGet icon means it's a NuGet package. So something like the Entity Framework, supported by Microsoft, it's open source and available as a NuGet package. So as you're kind of reading this, that's the one thing that people are like, what are those little symbols?
Yeah, no, that's a good overlay. And what's the spaceship mean?
That's a great question. I think somebody's going to have to look into that. I'm assuming it's something Neil deGrasse Tyson was working on.
Yeah, I don't know if that's next generation or the original, but exercise for
the
viewer.
That looks like a bird of prey, actually.
You're right. A Vulcan, right? Is it Vulcan or Romulan? Romulan bird of prey. Oh,
Klingon.
Man, we're going to get hate mail. Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. I hope it's Klingon.
Wow, we are losing our geek credentials today.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
It's one of the, what are they, Jar Jar? Yeah, that's the one.
Millennium Falcon it is. All right, so moving right along.
What the hell is an aluminum falcon?
So Jeremy Foster, I actually just met him for the first time the other day. We have the same pediatrician, and he has a show on Channel 9 as well. And he recently did an episode on quicker and cheaper localization with the Multilingual App Toolkit. This is one of those things that, you know, most people, when they build their apps, they don't really think about trying to make them multilingual. But if your app is successful and it's starting to go viral and you're wanting to appeal to more and more markets, then this becomes a really important thing to think about. How do you localize that app? How do you store your strings in a translation file that can easily be swapped out for different languages? And so there's this Multilingual App Toolkit which can help you accelerate that process. So Cameron Lerum and Jan Nelson were there to talk about that. So great episode to go find out more about how that works.
Very cool. So what is this open source questions answered? So yeah, is so this we all, like a everyone support group kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. My name is Brian, and I use open source.
Hi, Brian.
So everyone knows Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks,
absolutely,
of course. And so he basically did a multi-session course, a Microsoft Virtual Academy, on open source questions answered. And they've got that broken down into a few different modules. You know, what does it mean from a legal perspective? What does it mean you know, to really understand the culture of OSS and how it works. And so I thought this was just a really great thing for people to go watch and learn about, not only, you know, how, what are the things to worry about if you're going to think about embracing open source, but once you get past the kind of legal concerns, how do you really make the most of it?
Yeah, the one I saw actually was titled Open Source, and it was basically called Legal Concerns, which is a lot of times it's like, oh, geez, we want to adopt that, but our enterprise is crazy. Are there things you can educate so that people don't say, our org doesn't use open source?
Right.
And it's like, well, let's
not
let's
all open source is
find
the
out
same.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah.
And what that actually means.
Yep, exactly. So this is another great one from my world, which is the Scaled Agile Framework. So SAFe is a popular methodology out there, which really helps you take you know, smaller agile efforts and roll those into a larger effort. Maybe across an enterprise, you might have, you know, 10 different teams that contribute to a broader set of software. Well, how do you orchestrate and manage those individual teams to bring that together into a higher order backlog? You know, Scrum gives us a really great model for having teams of, you know, 7 to 10 people working together. But SAFe really takes that to the next level. So we've had a lot of people ask, how do I apply the concepts from SAFe into Team Foundation Server or Visual Studio Online? And what this provides is SAFe for Team Foundation Server. And so it basically makes some modifications to the process template. Greg Bohr is the PM who led this effort. And then Gordon Beeming, of course, friend of the show. I'm sure I don't know where he finds time to sleep because he's always coming up with cool stuff. He basically wrote a set of PowerShell scripts that can help you take an existing TFS server that doesn't have this template installed and convert your existing templates over to use SAFe. So this has been a hotly requested topic over the last year or so. Great to see it finally getting published.
Very cool. So getting the most out of your MCN subscription. So we don't normally talk about, hey, we've obviously plugged, if you're an MCN subscriber, you get up to $150 in benefits that you can use for dev tests, and even reduce discounts for other stuff beyond that.
Bitcoin generation, whatever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So what's interesting about this is this talks about some of the more like, okay, so I get the basics. What about other stuff? For example, like, both of us work in an organization. Is there some way to link our accounts that we can use this? Mm-hmm. And there really isn't that capability, but here's some ways you can design around it. So for example, you know, I'll have the UI machines, you will have the database servers, and we can still have our virtual networks actually connect up and talk to each other. So even though we're in different subscriptions and we have to manage them at a subscription level, you can still work your tools. Other examples are like, hey, how do I do things like changing how billing works? Mm. So if it's set up for MCN billing, she goes through, how do you switch to, say, a pay-as-you-go or to an enterprise agreement as well? Things that you don't normally, I haven't really seen good documentation on how to be able to do this stuff. So it's a good click down. And other things, for example, like, you know, just pointing to our best resources for how you get your code into Azure, automating that. A number of links that we were talking about earlier, so from GitHub, from TFS, and so on.
That's great. These questions come up all the time from our sales and evangelism field, so this looks like a really nice resource to just send people to as a one-stop shopping.
Yes.
Which brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
So my Pick of the Week is this really cool graphical template or toolkit, if you will, that basically lets you design a screenshot like the one you're looking at here for showing off your app. So, you know, obviously with Windows Phone apps, you have this really nice panorama that includes the ability for users to kind of scroll through your various, you know, menus and functionality. But it's hard to really show that off in all of its beauty unless you can actually show that entire panorama. So what they did is they basically created this phone overlay with a transparency there, so you can take a screenshot of your panorama. You can then do a perspective tilt or shift. I don't know the technical term for that. And then you can overlay that. So I also love the fact that they use the Channel 9 app as an example. So
and really, there's us too.
Yeah, that's us. So I'm expecting we'll get our 10% royalty
checks. I
think
we're actually wearing the same exact clothing too. So you're in a blue shirt, I'm in a black with white.
That's embarrassing.
Yes. Or this is, that might be a real-time photo.
Yeah, exactly. If I move my hand, does it?
I love that we actually both checked.
Yeah.
That's great. So my pick of the week is an RV converted into a spaceship simulator. So you gotta look at the details in terms of all the crazy stuff here, like just in terms of... so it's a kind of a three-person game, and there's three different seats that you're doing, but just they've gone through a ton of detail and copying things within the game. I mean, you can even see like kind of like the wires, there's the engineering seat, there's the pilot seat, and then that HUD and the different displays. This thing's awesome. And the best part is it is on wheels.
Yeah.
Like I imagine like the Jackass version, you know, like on Star Trek, they're always like going like this. Like if you were in some parking lot and like, you know, you're doing some crazy turn, like could you whip the car around?
That's awesome.
And they're just like, you're like bloody by the end of the ride.
So can you like rent this thing out or?
It was done for a hackathon. So it's okay. not like available for weddings and bar mitzvahs, but
if they published the plans, I mean, you could probably buy an old RV like that for $500 and just go build one yourself.
Go crazy!
Right? That's
exactly.
Awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
Cool. So tune in next week where Dan and I will be presenting from our RV converted into a spaceship simulator.